This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, July 19th, 2015. The seventh Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We'll talk today about priests. Generally, we have homilies on priests. We hear about the glories of that ministry and how lucky we are to have them, and that is all absolutely fact. It is all absolutely true. But we know that part of it. There is another part of it, and that is the fact that God Almighty Himself and you should expect something of your priests. You should expect something of your priests. God demands things of your priests. You should do the same thing. You should keep a watchful eye on priests. Priests need to have a watchful eye kept upon them. Okay? The priesthood can lend itself to a spiritual pride. That's all there is to it. And if a priest happens to get spiritually prideful or does not do his job, for lack of a better term, the indignation of God Almighty is provoked against them. These are not because I say it, it's because the Lord says it. That's why we have this in Scripture. Our Lord says to the prophet Jeremiah, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture." He confronts them with this. He says, "You have scattered my flock and have not attended to them." It is our responsibility as priests. And the higher you go up on the rungs of the ladder, the more important it is that you do what our Lord demands of you, and that is tend to His flock. And when it doesn't happen, the indignation of our Lord and the indignation of His people, I would submit to you, needs to come to the fore. They have to be held accountable. Alright? That's all there is to it. Again, it is a glorious vocation, it is glory, and because of that, that is why you should be attentive to the way your priests are. Generally in homilies, you lead up to, our Lord Jesus Christ does this. We're going to do it flip-flop today, okay? We're going to do a flip-flop because you have to understand this as Catholics. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. A lot of Catholics, you ask them the question, they can't help it. I guess it's just something that comes with time. Yeah. Who's the head of the church? Pope? Wrong? Jesus Christ, the Pope is His representative, closest thing we got in this world, so He is an exalted office, but He's not head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. We know from this prophecy in Jeremiah that indeed God Himself, He loves us so much, He cares so much about us, that He does not want, nor will He let anyone else be the shepherd of the sheep, but He. But Himself, He says, "Behold," these are His words, "Behold, I will attend to them. You haven't done it, shepherds that I called. You haven't done it. Behold, I will attend to them. I will attend to them." He is the one who is going to tend to us. He is the true shepherd of the sheep. Those are not my words. Those are His. John chapter 10, if you're into taking notes on things like that. "I am the good shepherd," says our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who fulfills definitively. He is the living and definitive manifestation of this prophecy. He is the fulfillment absolutely of this prophecy. He is the good shepherd. God is not contradicting Himself when we know that our Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. And He says, when He's focusing our attention on our Lord, the Holy Spirit says, "Behold, the days are coming when I will raise up a righteous branch, and He will be called the Lord of Righteousness." That is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of righteousness. He is the one who, again, has been appointed by our God to be the ultimate head of the church. He is our shepherd. And then our Lord goes on to say, I will set shepherds over them who will care for them. It's like, well, doesn't that contradict? Isn't it, if we've got Jesus Christ, if we've got him, then what need have we of any other person? We can just focus on him and what he said, just remember him, and that should be good enough. We can be like the Plymouth Brethren up in New England. And they have their meetings on Sunday mornings. They all get together, and whoever's got a particular word can come up and share it, and it's just kind of free form. They don't have ministers or anything like that. Jesus Christ is our shepherd. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ himself, God Almighty in Jeremiah says, I will set shepherds over them. And our Lord Jesus Christ says this, right before he is ascended into heaven, he says, lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. I am with you always. He doesn't say, lo, I'm going to set my boys over you and they're going to do what I say. He says, I am with you always until the end of the age. Well, Jesus has ascended into heaven. You know, he's not here with us anymore, so is he lying? He says, I am with you. You know what he gives us to make his presence here in this world a reality? The priesthood. That is why it is so important, and that is why God expects so much of his priests. Because they are to do what is called in Latin, act in persona Christi. They are supposed to act in the person of Christ. They are demanded. God commands that they act in the person of Christ. A lot of Protestant friends who like to come up and, you know, you're walking around with your Roman collar on and they like, oh, you guys do that confession thing. I would never confess my sins to a man. I love the look on their face when I said, neither would I. Wasn't expecting that. We don't confess our sins to a man. We confess our sins to a priest who speaks the words of Jesus Christ himself. When you go to the confessional, you do not confess to Father Doc or Father whoever that's sitting there. Jesus Christ is sitting there. You are speaking to Jesus Christ. That's why the absolution is not the Lord Jesus absolves you in the name, I absolve you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That is why at the Eucharist I don't say, this is his body which was given for you. This is my body which was given for you, because I speak for him. I speak in his place. I speak to represent him. Now that could sound tremendously bold. It is truly just the opposite. You get priests that throw out the first person singular a lot. I this, I that, I this, I. It's problematic. Because a priest is supposed to reflect our Lord Jesus Christ. He is supposed to, everything in his life should be done in persona Christi. First and foremost in the sacraments, but in everything that he does. That's being a good shepherd. That is emulating our true shepherd. I am the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is about him. It is not about any given priest, no matter what their title may be after their ordination to the priesthood. Okay? When a man acts in persona Christi, again, it should be just the opposite the way it can be perceived. It ought to be a tremendously humbling experience. You never speak of yourself. You speak for Jesus Christ. You speak his words. You teach his truth. You teach what the Holy Spirit has taught throughout the two millennia of the church's existence. That's what the priest should do. Okay, because God, as I said, he expects diligence from those under-shepherds whom he has made to stand in his place down here. Those are the ones who fulfill his promise. Can you imagine if our Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the good shepherd, and then he says, lo, I am with you always to the close of the age, what the retribution is going to be for those men who did the ministry for whatever other reason, anything but reflecting Jesus Christ in this world. God expects diligence of the shepherds of his flock, and so should you. You are the ones who are here. You are the ones who are seeing. And it doesn't matter where you go regularly or if it's here. I throw this out because I should be held to account. All right? Now, there's things you have to understand about this thing, and we get into this discussion of what a shepherd does and what he is and what God expects of him. Then you have to make sure that if you're going to confront a priest with doing something wrong, you better have your ducks in a row. All right? Not to say you shouldn't, just make sure that your ducks are in a row before you say something. Make sure you're right. If you know your catechism, if you know the teaching of your church, not stuff you heard from even this priest or that priest, there are a lot of bad things that you can hear from priests. If you know it's bad, just make sure that it is bad. And make sure that you know the right answer before the confrontation happens. Because for the benefit of his soul, you just may need to speak to him. Okay? And then if he doesn't listen, there are other channels. A different subject for a different day. But you should be watchful, as God is watchful. I'd much rather have you mad at me and tell me that I'm wrong and you be right about it than have to wait to the judgment seat and hear about it from our Lord. Watch after me, please. All right? This whole idea of shepherding, we hear that word so often. I think that's one of those little churchy things. For one thing, we're not agrarians. We don't know a whole lot about sheep. We don't know a whole lot about what shepherds do. Oh, we do have pictures, stained glass. It's really pretty, you know. I've usually Jesus, like, hugging on a little lamb and all this kind of stuff. That's our view of shepherds. It goes much deeper than that. What are the shepherd's functions? Primarily, to feed and to guard the flock. To feed it and to guard it. All right? When we talk about feeding the flock, this is kind of a no-brainer. Everybody expects their priest to have their head in the game. I mean, cognitively, intellectually. They should know their faith. I would submit to you that they should know their entire faith. They should know what the church has taught for 2,000 years, not what the church has taught for the past 50. Okay? Two millennia of God's truth in which to delve, in which to understand, not just the past 50 years. And to properly feed the flock, the priest has to have knowledge. The prophet Malachi really, really drives this point home. When we talk about the priest and what he does and what you should expect from him. The prophet Malachi says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Malachi chapter 2, if you, again, take notes, the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. The priest should speak for God. The priest should speak the word of God. I had said before, if you hear a bunch, you go to a homilies and it is replete with a bunch of I this, I that, a bunch of current events, you know, a bunch of, oh, I love that guy. He gives so many illustrations. Illustrations are an integral part of the homily, but they are a part of the homily. They ought not be the entire homily. Okay? Little stories about this, that, and the other thing. Current events are an important thing. I'm not saying you shouldn't talk about current events. But guess what? Current events should not be presented in their primacy and then be related to Scripture. The Scripture should be presented, and then we should see how current events either conform with or are in conflict with the Word of God. It is about Scripture. St. Jerome says, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Jesus Christ. You need to know what the Bible teaches you. You need to know that in its entirety. You need to know all of it. Even those parts that over the past 50 years have found themselves excised from the lectionary. Certain psalms and certain even portions of the gospel. Portions of the gospel have been excised because they speak of God's confronting sin and his anger towards sin. Guess what? You need to know those parts. Because somebody's going to be answerable, or some people are going to be answerable, at the judgment seat of Christ when they get up there and he goes, I gave you my word and you took it out. You didn't want to talk about that place. That is part of what I wanted you to understand about me. That is the import, and your priest should be teaching you the word of God. They should properly use and administer the sacraments. That is how you feed the flock. properly administering and using the sacraments. That is why we, my brother priests and I, take in air, is to administer the sacraments. First and foremost, the Eucharist. I shared a couple weeks ago about something I read, and it was well written, absolutely wrong, but extremely well written, about the traditional Mass. And it, guys, I went to it, and yeah, you know, it's nice and everything, but the whole thing was focused on the priest and everything he said, and we didn't do this, and we didn't do that. Guess what? Did you not hear what I said before? The priest stands in persona Christi. It's not about the priest, it's about Jesus Christ. And he is represented in the Mass by the priest. So, duh, there's a focus on Jesus, who the priest stands in persona Christi. That's why it works out like that. It pains me, and most people that come here regularly, they know, and I don't hear it anymore, but sometimes there are visitors, and there's a, Father, could you hear my confession? If I can't, I don't deserve to be here. I don't have anything else to do that's more important than that. If I'm not celebrating the holy sacrifice of the Mass, I'm able to hear your confession. I don't know. I don't care what time it is. I don't care. Oh, you know, it's Sunday and this. I don't care. Again, that's why I take an air. That's why I exist. I pray God that the moment that I start, oh, I really don't want to hear a confession. I hope he takes me out of this place because I'm slacking. Unfortunately, currently, they're this whole feeding the flock through examples of life, or you're falling short. And I think God's indignation might begin to be stirred because there are a lot of incidents and when priests are not attending, they're leaving that to others. They're leaving that to others who ought not be doing it. Eucharistic ministers, and I'm not going there, so many facets where it is problematic. There are a lot of Catholics, and there are few priests. The title of that particular office is an extraordinary minister of the Holy Eucharist. Extraordinary. There ought to be an extraordinary circumstance in which they are used. Not because I don't want to go to the hospital, or that I don't want to visit some shut-in, but because I can't, or because there might be a special relationship. But the bottom line is, that's my vocation. That is what I am supposed to do. When you go to the hospital, folks, guess what? When you call your parish, your priest should show up. Your priest should show up. Because not only is he going to administer the sacrament, he's going to be there with you to be the example of Christ for you. That is not expected of a Eucharistic minister. Someone should not walk in the door to be the sacrament dispenser. Like a Pez dispenser. Oh, here we are. Yeah, again, it's problematic in so many different ways. I'm not saying that it ought not exist, that it ought not be used near as much as it is, because that's a priest's job. It's a priest's job to come and visit you. That's why he takes an air. A priest should exhibit a holiness of life, feed his flock. A lot of you in here do delve into things of the church, and a lot of you read things about what goes on in seminaries and what goes on in, you know, the life of church. And you'll hear occasionally criticisms about some really bad things and some really bad products that are coming out of seminaries. The Catechism of the Church says, and I quote, "Procuring or permitting ordination while conscious of mortal sin, a man renders himself of a new and enormous crime, because a priest is bound to be an example of holy life. A priest should exemplify a holy life to his people as best we can in our human frailty. As best we can. And we're all at different stages in that. We're all at different places. But he should endeavor with all his being to exemplify a holy life, a life that is completely, completely focused on Jesus Christ as best he can. All right, that is what a priest should do. And a lot of you, you'll read some commentators about these problems that come out of seminaries, and they'll say, well, you know, yeah, he's got issues, but everybody's got issues. Everybody's not a priest. Everybody's got issues. They'll work through them as they go on. That is questionable at best. I love the words. Anyone who procures or permits ordination while conscious of mortal sin renders himself of a new and enormous crime against the church. You should expect your priest to be holy. You ought not be walking around in t-shirts. Okay? I'll leave it at that. They're to feed the flock. That's how they do it. They're an example. And they're supposed to teach you the word of our Lord. They are also supposed to guard the flock. Probably one of the most prominent shepherds of the Old Testament is King David. Before he was a king, he was a shepherd. Everybody knows David. You know, even if you don't read the Old Testament, you know the David and Goliath story, right? David and Goliath. Here David is a shepherd boy, and his dad says, here, take this stuff to your brother. Your brothers who are fighting in the army, they're fighting the Philistines. Go bring this stuff to them. Make sure they're okay. Okay, Dad. David shoots down there. And David walks up, and the armies of Israel are confronted by Goliath. Now this guy's relatively awesome, in the most pure sense of the word, about 9 feet tall. Bible says his spear had a shaft the size of a weaver's beam, about yay big. The head of his spear, most people couldn't pick up, and this guy's slinging it and chucking it at people. Okay? Pretty intimidating guy. And he's cursing God. And he's cursing the army, taunting them. And David's like, he's just a little shepherd boy. All these soldiers are out. What's up with this? Homer out there is criticizing God. He's taunting God. He's taunting you. How can you let him do it? Shut up, kid. What's wrong with you? You know, look at the guy. You stupid? Well, he keeps it up. Well, King Saul gets kind of wind of this, and he walks up. Look, kid. Yeah, he's doing a lot of bad stuff. But look at it. You're a shepherd. You're a little boy. All right? That guy's been killing people since he was your age. All right? Shut up. David looks at Saul, the king, which is pretty bold in and of itself. This is a shepherd. And things aren't in the Bible by accident. God talks about shepherds, shepherds, shepherds. Get this picture out of your mind of some little boy petting a lamb. All right? Get this picture in your mind. This is what David said. Your servant used to keep sheep. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I smote him and killed him. And he goes on to say, I have killed lions and bears. This was not the day when David was sitting with his 30-06 a few hundred yards away. Oh, that might be a scary thing for the flock. I'll plug that bear. This kid's killing bears and lions with rocks. I'm just saying, that's a shepherd. That's a guard of the flock. That's why God put it in there so you understand what your shepherd should be. They should guard the flock. They ought not be milquetoast, mincy guys. All right? They ought not be. Because, particularly in our day and age, they need to be bold to proclaim the truths of God. A lot of people don't like to hear the truth. My God's a loving God. He would never be judgmental and all this kind of stuff. That is a lie. My God wouldn't have a hell. There's no hell. There's not a... That's a lie. Priests need to stand up for the truth, and they need to tell you the truth. They need to be bold to do it, even when you don't like it. That's why I said before, you need to get your ducks in a row. If I say something up here, you go, oh, I can't believe that. Like I said, I'm always citing the catechism and scripture. Are you going to one-up me on scripture or the catechism? Shame on me. All right? I tell you this stuff because it's God's truth. And you should expect a shepherd who stands up and guards the flock. You should expect your shepherds to be manly. Because what do they do? What is their function in guarding the flock? To prepare you to be part of the church militant, to be soldiers for Christ. Yeah, unfortunately, recently, even things that manifest being soldiers of Christ have kind of gone away in the church. Traditionally, when you're confirmed in the church, you get that little slap on the cheek. But if you're confirmed here, you still do, because it shows that you're a soldier of Christ. Prepare yourself for warfare. You're part of the church militant. The church isn't a fighting force. Really? This is what the catechism says about the church militant. It wages war with those implacable enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Implacable means cannot be placated. They will not cut you any slack. The world of the flesh and the devil will continue to try to tempt you, to draw you away from the church, to focus you, your attention somewhere other than Jesus Christ. They're implacable. They will not stop fighting. And if you stop fighting, guess what? Or if you don't fight, you will be overcome. You need to be prepared to fight. And you should expect someone to teach you who is bold for the fight. When I enlisted in the Marine Corps, I wanted to be a Marine. I do all that good stuff, all that cool Marine stuff, you know, machine guns, blowing up stuff, breaking things. Hey, that's cool, okay? I would have been really, really upset if I had got off the bus at Paris Island and heard, hey guys, let's go in the building. It looks like it might rain. We don't want to get wet out here, and we're going to show you some pictures and movies about how it is to be a Marine. That would have disgusted me. Well, the guys that came on that bus, you could tell before they opened their mouths that they wouldn't really take a whole lot, or would they need a whole lot of catalyst to tear your face off your head. And guess what? When they open their mouth, you do it in short order. They had no problem with it at all. Those are the kind of guys that are going to keep you alive in battle. Those are the guys that are going to teach you how to fight. That's what you should expect from the shepherds of your flock. You should expect that. You should not expect some mincey, milquetoast, anecdotal stories. You should desire the Word of God, and you should desire to be enabled to fight, because if you don't, as I said, you will be overcome. I warn you of that. You should expect that. God expects all these things. I would actually submit to you that even more so, He demands these things, these qualities of the shepherds that He has appointed over His people. He expects it, He demands it, and so should you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.